If I give you one scripture verse, like John 17:17, I'm trying to prove a point. And I don't want to prove a point. I want to prove a context. Because a context is more useful than a point. Text for me personally. You may just like the point. But the context for me is, I think, where understanding starts coming in. And the context of John 17:17 is probably one of the most fantastic chapters in the entire Bible. And if you've read it recently, praise the Lord. If you haven't, I hope you're inspired to read it again. Jesus says some things in John 17 that are, they're out of this world, really. One of my favorite verses is, and all mine are thine. This is Jesus saying, and all mine, everybody that you gave to me is yours. And yours are mine. That's pretty intense right there. That's emotional. That's Jesus saying, Father, the people that we have are ours. They're ours, personally. He really makes a point several times of saying they are ours. And then in the same verse, he says, and I am glorified in them. I want you to think about that for a second. How many of you are believers in Jesus? Okay, we got quite a few. Jesus says, well, not everybody raise their hand. What Jesus says about you as a believer is that he is glorified in you. Can somebody say amen? I mean, Jesus is saying about me and about you, I am glorified in them. That's an amazing statement. It's a fantastic statement. That's verse 10, by the way. And further on down the chapter, it just gets better. As you approach verse 17, Jesus starts explaining what sanctification is, which is what the sermon is about. But I don't really want to just keep throwing out the word sanctification. I want you to try to absorb it in context, and as Jesus starts explaining the context of sanctification, it starts making sense. Verse 11, he says, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are you and me. We are in the world. And Father, I come to you. Keep those through your own name. So you want to live a sanctified life? Yes. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear a yes. The Father's name will help. There's more to the story. Jesus goes on. John 17, fantastic chapter. It's all about sanctification and relationship. And Jesus, it's a prayer. If you look at verse 1, Jesus says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. So this is a prayer between Jesus and the Father, and he's talking with the Father in this prayer. He's talking about how he has finished the work on this planet and he's about to ascend to his Father. And Jesus goes on saying that we're in the world. Jesus is completely concerned about us and he wants us to be kept because we're his. And the emotional level that Jesus goes to between verses 10 and 20 is unbelievable. Verse 17, of course, is the verse we're going to focus on a little bit. But before we get there, I just want to say this. And now I have come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Amen. Wow. Jesus is praying that his joy is fulfilled in you. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. Anybody here accept the word of God? What's the world think of that? Not much. They don't really care for this of us that believe in the word, do they? Did Jesus recognize that? And then he goes on to say, the world hated us because they are not of the word. And Jesus said, my people are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world. Anybody left the world lately? You're still here? Okay, well, it's part of Jesus' prayer. I'm not asking that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil that's in the world. Everything I just read describes what the word sanctification is about. It's God keeping us next to him, not letting the world get us, because Jesus has us. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. As you have sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. Have you been in the world lately? Have you spoken the word to anybody in the world lately? Amen. How was it received? Well, I hope. Little iffy. Charlotte's going a little iffy. Does anybody in here understand what Charlotte's going through? That's why we come to church. Right? That's why we come to church. We share, we experience, we pray with one another. You know, it's only Christ alone that can sanctify us. I'm going to get into it a little bit more in the sermon almost immediately, but in case you're wondering if that's true, verse 19 of John 17, he says, and for their sakes, Jesus speaking here, I sanctify myself. You ever read that? And he says, why? I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Amen. Wow. So when Jesus ascended to be our high priest, what did he do? He sanctified himself. Only God can do that. I can't do it for myself. And the glory, a lot of you know what that word glory means in the Greek. The word glory means character. You think about Jesus and his character, who he is, how much he loves each one of us. This is, we're getting a small idea of what this means. And the glory, the character, which is what makes God shine, which is why no one can approach him. Do you know that? He is purity. His character, he's pure love. He's pure goodness. He's pure mercy. He's pure justice. He's so pure, he glows. He shines like the midday sun. And that's why everybody covers their eyes the second coming. They can't behold it. But we behold it. Why? Because we will be one even as we are one right now with God. That's why. You will shine resurrection morning. Amen. You're shining a little bit right now. I need my sunglasses. You're shining a little bit right now. I've got a quote from Martin Luther. I think it's fantastic on that point. And you might think, wow, this is all a lot of high-sounding language, but it's a process, and this is what Jesus was trying to say. Coming to Jesus, walking with Jesus, going to heaven, it's a process. It begins, it progresses, we go to heaven. Okay, here we go. That's a little bit of context. Please read this chapter. If you have time today, this Sabbath, read this chapter and see what Jesus thinks about you and what he says. It's a very emotional experience. How much he loves you, how much he loves me. Sanctification means to purify, to make holy, or consecrate the believer. And as I stated earlier, this is God's work. Now, some of you are saying, what's my response? Okay, here's your response. Now, I'd love to be beat up and proven wrong. So go ahead and try to prove me wrong, but you've got a task cut out for you because I really love to argue. You know, holy argument, right? Friendly argument, a good argument. Argument that leaves us both with swords sharpened, right? I don't mind that. It's the ones where I get stabbed and left to die that I have a problem with. But I'll, you know, we'll fence. Here's your response. Here's my response. My response to what God wants to do in my life is to surrender to Him, to reverence Him, and then to glorify my Redeemer for even wanting to work with me. One of Scripture's clearest examples, don't miss this, one of Scripture's clearest examples of sanctification can be seen at work in the life of Mary Magdalene. She's the one that Scripture says was freed from evil spirits, plural. She was freed from evil spirits and many illnesses. King James uses the word infirmities, but it's plural. Many spirits and many sicknesses. If you recall, she is the one that anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair while weeping. Jesus freed her, and she glorified him. That's sanctification in a nutshell. It's a little motion picture of sanctification. She met Jesus. Jesus freed her, and then she glorified him. I could stop right now. How many wish I would? But that's it. That's a little mini picture of what sanctification is. You and I know from a favorite author of ours that it's the work of a lifetime. How many have read that statement? It is literally the work of a lifetime, and I believe that. But Martin Luther has some things to say about sanctification that make it bearable. Not that the Bible doesn't or any other author, but I thought Martin Luther's point was poignant, and we'll get to it when you least expect it. God's word will set us free from the world because it is the truth. Separation from the world continues this very moment, and God's word will bless and sanctify us our entire lifetime. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. How valuable must the blessing of sanctification be when our Lord, in the highest reaches of his intercession, cries out for us, sanctify them. Hebrews 2, verse 1. For both he, and I've paraphrased some of these, so if you see a discrepancy with my paraphrase and what you see on the screen, we can talk about it or argue if you want. But I've paraphrased them a little bit. For both he, who's he? In this context, let me read it and then I'll ask the question. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all one. Because of this, he is not ashamed to call them family. I got to have a bigger amen to that. Especially Doug in the back. I mean, praise the Lord. I mean, Doug, you and I were talking about this last Sabbath. It really is. This sermon is a kickoff of Doug and I yakking for about a half an hour over how much God loves us and how much he cares for us. This is fantastic. So who's he? Both he that sanctifies and they are who are sanctified. Who's the scripture referring to? us, we're the ones that are sanctified, and who's the he? That's Jesus. You could just say, if you want, it's the Holy Spirit. That'd be fine with me. Or you could say, well, it's the Father. I don't have a problem with that, and I'll tell you why. They're one. Can we just say, praise the Lord, that we have a big God, right? Every true believer has this reality. Sanctification is a present reality, and it gives us a vision for eternity. Now, you think sanctification is really good right here, right now, and it is, because what I see people going through, what you see people going through, because they're caught up with who knows what, God frees us from that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord to that. And when you're freed from that, it frees your mind. And you can start thinking about what eternity is going to be like, and I mean eternity, and I don't understand it, fully sanctified. Somebody's got to praise the Lord for that. I mean, to be rid of the enemy, Doug's raising his hands now. We got to... When I think about sanctification, the final process, it has to do with glorification and ascension, and you and I are caught up together to meet Jesus in the air. Think about eternity with Jesus. That's sanctification right there. What scripture do we have up? 2:11 or 2:1? Yeah, that's it. To be living in a state of uninterrupted sanctification forever without sin. Wow. It makes me smile. We've been seeking it a while, haven't we? I'm just a young pup at 63. And I've been seeking sanctification since 22, when Jesus said, you're a mess. And I said, what's that? He goes, follow me and you'll find out. Oh boy. How many of you are older than me? So you've been chasing sanctification a while. How's that working for you? Jesus is doing it. Thank you. That is just the answer I wanted to hear. When Jesus takes over, I have a reason to smile. When I'm trying to do it on my own, I don't have a whole lot to smile about. Colossians chapter 1, 12 through 13. Thanking the Father who has qualified us to be, that probably says meet, doesn't it? If you look up that word M-E-E-T in the Greek, that word in the Greek is qualified. If you want a homework assignment. So I'll read it this way. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. I'm going to hallelujah that one. I'm taking it up a notch. So it reads this way. Thanking the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, having delivered us from the power of darkness, present tense, delivered, past tense, from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Eternity begins right now. Amen. Sanctification begins. Justification begins. Translation begins. It all begins right now. And the longer you hang in there with Jesus, it's like rolling out of bed, you'll be in the kingdom. Well, rolling out of bed's getting harder, but you know what? I still make it. But we're going to be in the kingdom because we're following Jesus now. Hallelujah to that. All right. Sanctification continues. Sanctification continues in regeneration. We're done with Colossians. We're moving on. It's hard to say that. Sanctification continues in regeneration. The Holy Spirit of God communicates to man that new and living principle by which you and I become new creatures in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I like the way the King James says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. And if you'll read John 17, that's exactly how Jesus addresses who we are through the whole chapter. He never even mentions one time my past. He says, I pulled them out of the world and they're mine. Father, they're mine, they're yours, and we got them. It's like going fishing. Pull them out of the world, put them in the bin. We got them. They're ours. I'm keeping them. They're all keepers. Fishing game's not going to bother us. Jesus won't lose one. Amen. In Sabbath school, Sherry was talking about reckoning, and I told her I had a scripture for that, so here we go. Romans 6:11. Here's my little commentary, and then we'll read it. Sanctification, once this process has started, now some of you in your minds are going, well, it was that baptism, it was when I surrendered to Jesus at age 2, it was, I'm not even going to address that. That's between you and Jesus. But this process, the sanctification process, once started, involves a continual surrender and reckoning. Amen is right. So this is how Paul puts it. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what? To what? But alive to God. How? He's the only one that can do it. I'm not alive unto myself to sanctify myself. It doesn't work that way. I'm alive to surrender to God so that he can sanctify me. And you can use the word obedience. I don't have a problem with that. The Greek kind of intimates the fact that obedience is surrendering to a known command. Ooh. Ooh. Paul kind of said it this way. If there's no law, there's no sin. So I've got to surrender to something I know, and then it becomes obedience. I don't have a problem with that. That's some happy obedience right there. Growing up as a kid, my dad expected stuff from me that I didn't know what it was. He thought I knew how to read his mind. Maybe your mom was that way, or a brother or a sister, or you know somebody that's like that. If you can't read somebody's mind, you can't do what they're asking, right? But if they verbalize it, you can do something about it. This is what God does. If you say you're obeying God, in my head, it means that you understand exactly what he's asking you to do. And really, when you study the word obedience and what it means, that's exactly what it's talking about. God's not expecting you to do something you don't know. That's why we pray. Right? That's why I pray, Lord, I believe, help thou my... the stuff that I don't know about. I heard a... My wife does a lot of that lately. She'll be going through the house. I'll be on the internet too long. Don't say it, Jim. So, this reckoning, this surrender and this reckoning is a process. How many of you understand that? Just raise your hand. Do you understand that, Wayne? Your hand went up. Remember like 4 years ago, you and I were talking about this? I mean, everything in your life, it hits you and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on here? Well, I'm surrendering to Jesus, now he's reckoning. I'm reckoning, he's reckoning, I'm surrendering, Jesus is educating me, I'm continuing to reckon. You're going to like this because Paul says this the same way. This process, once started, involves a continual surrender and reckoning, accepting the new life which God has put in us. Have you accepted that? I accepted that new life that God put within me, and Romans 6:11. So then, or likewise, what's the word? Ah, there it is, Sherry. There's that word, reckon. Sherry and I know what reckoning means. When you're putting everything together to go on a trip, there's a lot of reckoning. Got my toothbrush? I reckon. Got enough food? I reckon we do. The car got oil in it? Yeah, I reckon so. I filled it. See where the reckoning comes in? This is the reckoning. So then, likewise, reckon yourselves dead indeed to what? Wow. But alive unto God. Shall we go through that one more time? It's important. This process is carried on every day in what is called perseverance. The believer is preserved and continues in a God-supplied, gracious state. How many want to go back to the reckoning? Not a one? In what is called perseverance, the believer is preserved and continues in a God-supplied, gracious state. Ephesians 2:8. Here it is. For by grace are you saved. How? See how this reckoning keeps fitting in? You are saved by grace through faith, and here it is again, and that not of what? It's the gift of God.
Amen.
Amen. So then, the Spirit of God is the enabler of sanctification. In combination with a visible agency, which must not be forgotten. Sanctify them, said Jesus, through thy truth, thy word. Here we go. Thy word is truth. Amen. Scripture over and over underscores that there is a power for our sanctification in the word of God. Romans 1:16. Someone want to read that for us? That's good news for me. Praise the Lord. So, what does the word have? The word, the gospel, it has power in it. The Spirit of God brings to our minds through the word the precepts and doctrines of truth, and then he applies them with power. Notice what Paul said? It is the power of God. These truths are seen in the written word. They are heard. I really don't want to go too quickly past that. These truths are seen in the written word. You want to be sanctified? God can do it. Amen. You may want to read his word, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. These words are not only the power, they are seen in the written word, and they are heard in the conscience. Amen? Saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Hebrews 10:22. This is what sanctification produces. And what is sanctification? Somebody give it to me in a nutshell. Surrender the will of God. Surrender the Holy Spirit. Surrender the Word of God. Surrender to God, right? That's sanctification. This is what it produces. Let us draw near with a what? With a true heart. In full assurance of faith. You want to read the rest of it? Go ahead. Wow. That's sanctification. By faith, by trust, the full assurance of faith. Is it any wonder that Paul wrote in Philippians 4:8 this verse? Finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think on these things. That's between you and God. You become alive for the first time. So I'm going to ask that you just let God help you with this. What you should think on, what you should look at, what you should do. I can't solve it for you. Only you and the Holy Spirit can solve this verse. These truths have to be welcomed in the heart by choice. Everything we're talking about. Martin Luther said this about sanctification. I know you were waiting for that, Doug. I could see it in your eyes. This is a pretty interesting statement. If I was eating roast beef and drinking beer, I would be a lot like Martin Luther. Remember, that was the order of the day. How many already knew that? I mean, this is early on. Before you launch the entire Seventh-day Adventist Church, before you launch the Adventist Church, you have to launch the Reformation. Because righteousness by faith is the foundation. You can't have prophecy without righteousness by faith. It's an absolute waste of time. If all you have is prophecy, people are just running around spouting prophecy. There has to be a reason for prophecy. That's the foundation. Righteousness by faith, Jesus Christ, the character of God. That's the foundation. The reformation that we all need to have, the sanctification process, you need to have that reformation. It has to happen. Then you can go into prophecy. So here's Martin Luther, while still drinking beer and eating roast beef. How many of you have been to the Hofbräu lately? That's where Martin Luther ate lunch every day. You're not believe the Hofbräu, sauerkraut, beer, roast beef. I mean, this is the guy that wrote this statement. I'm trying to give you a little context. Some of you are like, what? Here's what Martin Luther said about sanctification. This life is not godliness, but growth in godliness. It is not health, but healing. It's not about being, but becoming. It's not about rest, but exercise. We are not now what we shall be, but we are on the way. Hallelujah. God, hallelujah. I love this. The process is not yet finished, but it has begun. His is not the goal, but it is the road. You with me on that? We're on the road. All at present, all does not gleam and glitter, but everything is being purified. I love that. I really love that. It so speaks to me. This life is not godliness, but growth in godliness. Not health, but healing. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not what we shall be, but we're on the way. The process is not yet finished, but it's begun. It's not the goal, but it is the road. We're on the road. At present, all does not gleam and glitter. Amen to that. But everything is being purified. Amen to that. That's the good news. I need one more minute. All right. Many distractions work against our sanctification on a daily basis. And I could elaborate, and so could you. But let it suffice to say that these distractions involve principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, rulers of this world, and spiritual wickedness in low and high places. Why did I add the word low? Because there's spiritual wickedness in low places. But humbly, I would interject to that, so what? I would humbly interject to that all that evil has to throw at us, to throw at me, so what? And why do I say that? Because I choose to believe God, not the world. Jesus said, I came out of it. I want to stay out of it. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of God are you in Jesus Christ, who by God is made unto us, speaking of Jesus, wisdom, righteousness. What's the next word? That's our subject for today. And last but not least, redemption. So you're wondering, why am I so crazy about Jesus? I mean, what am I going to say here? There's nothing left to say. Wisdom. You need wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So we started this sermon with a scripture, and we're going to end it with one. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. People ask you, well, what is it that God wants me to do? Well, here's a good place to start. For this is the will of God, even your... That's a good place to start, amen? There's about four other verses that specifically state what the will of God is, and this is one of them. I think there's about four. But this one says, as per John 17, Jesus' will for us is sanctification. Paul backs that up. This is the will of God. Even your, and you know what the good news is? In Christ you are. And it's a process. We're on the road. It's happening. We're not completely polished yet, but we're getting polished, right? But we're in Christ right now, savable at this very second. You believe that? If you don't, read John 17, because exactly what he says there. They're mine, and the world is not getting them. We're his. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the reality of what you've accomplished through Jesus. And to say that we glorify you is fantastic, and we praise you for it. And we ask to be able to understand that more fully and to follow through with that. We give you the glory. We ask that you'd help us reckon on a daily basis where we are with you, and to surrender those things that are out of harmony with you. We're trusting in your Spirit to accomplish that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.